Thank you, Steve. Oh, you drank the water. Cooties. We're going to start in 1 Timothy. Thanks, Steve, for allowing me to teach. It's a privilege. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I got to get there, too. All right, verse 4 says, well, let's start in verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the," what?
Truth.
The truth. Before you receive anything, you better figure out if it's, any of us know, available. If God wants us to come, all men, to come to the knowledge of the truth, it must be available. It must be available. Thanks, Steve. Oh, yeah. That's how you get what you want. Complain. All right, so it must be available. If God says this is his will, and you know, this word for will, it's his desire. And it's not like when you reason something out and you decide it because these are the facts. This is like from emotion. This is like his longing. This is like he wants this because this is who he is. And he wants all men, it says, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So everyone in here, it must be available for you to come to the knowledge of the truth, and for me too. You can go to John 17, 17. No, and it's not a knowledge of a truth, which is a pretty popular way of thinking now. It's the knowledge of the truth. And that's a real distinction. There's one truth. There's one God. And there's one right way to know his word. And it's the rightly divided way. John 17, 17, Jesus Christ speaking, he says, "Sanctify them through," and that says thy truth, but it is the truth in the text. You know? And people talk about, I don't know if you've heard this, this drives me nuts, but I'm just speaking my truth or whatever. Or like, your truth. And people say that now, and it's wild. It's weird. This is sanctify them, and this is, it's not thy truth, it's the truth. Because there's just the one. What is truth? Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. It is available for us to come to the knowledge of the truth, which is God's word. Let's go to Proverbs 2. So we can receive this. And that's a block. That can be a mental block sometimes. You know? Am I capable of getting this? Am I ever capable of actually, like, coming to knowing what the word says about this? And you are. God's going to fight for you to understand his word. Because it's his desire. It's his strong desire for you to know it. For me to know it. Proverbs 2. Proverbs is a book that primarily deals with wisdom, the subject of wisdom, especially in these first, is it 8 or 10 chapters? I can't remember. But Proverbs 2, verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words." And that word receive is actually take. You know, receive is kind of like a passive thing. This is to take it. Take my words and hide my commandments with thee. Hide's cool. It's like to lay up, like in a treasury, like in a bank, like under your mattress maybe, if you're a little paranoid. It's not just, you're not just going to hear it and just like let it go. You're taking the word and you're storing it up so that you have it when you need it. Hide. So if we just sit here during the teachings today and we don't take what's being given to us, we're going to lose it. We've got to hide it. We've got to receive is take, and hide is to lay it up like it's in a treasury. We can't let it slip away. Verse 2 says, "So that thou incline thine ear," and that's like the ear pricks up, and you actually move it toward the source of what you're hearing. Right? It's active, this section. It's talking about stuff that we do. All right? You incline your ear. And apply your heart is actually to bend or extend your heart. to understanding. We have to do it. Verse 3 says, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then, this is the result, then shalt thou understand the fear, the respect of the Lord, and find the what? If we want to find the knowledge of God, we've got to do what this says. It's on us now. Right? It's sitting right in front of us, right? Or I like to point out, like, here's my phone. The Bible's on my phone, which is in my pocket all the time now, right? That part's done. It's written down. It's accessible to us. We need to extend our heart to it. We need to incline our ear to it. We need to take it and lay it up for ourselves. Then we're going to understand the respect of God. And if you go to Proverbs 1:7, just a chapter before, it says, the fear of the Lord, this respect for God, is the beginning of knowledge. That's where it starts. Do we respect God? Do we know who God is, who wrote this? Do we know who he is, and what do we think about him? You know, then you go back to verse 6 of chapter 2, and it says, for the Lord gives, what? God gives it. That's where it comes from. God gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We got to go to the source. The source is God, and God had it written down. Now we decide what we're going to do with it. Go to 2 Peter 1. Are we going to look for it like it's treasure? What's it worth to us? Is it worth the same as money to us? Or more, it should be. But, you know, at the very least, is it at least worth the same as money would be to us? You know? Do we have respect for God? Do we know that he gives knowledge and wisdom? You know, in James 1, it says he does it liberally, generously, and he's not going to throw it back in your face. It's a promise. He wants us to have this. 2 Peter 1 says, in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us, look at this, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through, what? The knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, look at that, of the divine nature, who God is, to partake in that, to take part in who God is, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So we're out of that, right? And now we got some knowledge, and now we decide what we're going to do with it. What's our attitude? You know, I was taught that God's word, it's not written for skeptics. It's not written for unbelievers. It's written for people that want answers. Do we want answers? What's our attitude? When we approach it, do we want what it's offering? If we do, God goes, I'm giving it to you. You're going to have it. We got to ask ourselves, Titus 1, do we really want it? You know? If you don't, change your mind. If you're like, I don't want it that bad, think about what you're saying. You know? Think about who God is. Think about, I mean, we're going to see some of the benefits of this. And, you know, throughout the other two teachings too, I'm sure. It's like, this is real stuff. This is the truth. The actual die-in-the-wool, real deal truth. That's what we're talking about here. Do you believe that that exists, and you believe that it's what's sitting in your lap right now, that it's what I'm telling you right now? Titus 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the what? Which is after godliness. Godliness is a real, vital, and true relationship with God. Isn't that cool? Knowledge is according to, okay, or it leads to godliness. The acknowledging of the truth leads to that relationship with God. That's how you get it. This is how he revealed himself. This is how he chose to do it. He didn't make a movie, right? It's not in cave paintings, right? It's not on the radio. Is the radio still around? You know, and it's not on Spotify either. So where is it? It's here. It's words. It's God's word. That's how he chose to do it. You like that or you don't, doesn't really matter. Here it is. You know? Knowledge of God's word is knowing God. And this is cool. Acknowledgement. You know, there's three like major words for knowledge in the Greek New Testament. One is like, is Chris Cruz in here? Because I did this with him. Anyway. One's like, I'm going to use Batman as an example. I apologize. You know Batman? And somebody's like, yeah.
Sure.
And you're like, you know, okay, so I read this comic book about Batman, blah, blah, blah. Right? You're aware of Batman. You know who he is. That's one of them. The other one might be, do you know Batman? And it's like, yeah. Bruce Wayne, I had dinner with him the other night. Yeah, I know Batman, right? It affects you, right? You actually have some deeper knowledge of Batman, like you might know his favorite food or something like that. And the third one might be like, I can sleep tight knowing that Batman is out there watching over Gotham City, right? You acknowledge who he is and you know who he is. Like, it's in your mind who he is. That's this word. And it's actually, all the times we've read the word knowledge has been this word. Epignosis, if you want that. That's the Greek word. That leads to that vital relationship with God. When we know the truth and acknowledge it, keep it in our minds, know what it means, like what it really is, the import of it, the weight of it, that's the relationship with God. Real, true, and vital. Go to Proverbs 8. Our attitude because it is right here. You know, we don't have to we don't have to track it down or anything, right? It's not missing. There was a time when it was. You know? It's really wild, but it's right in your lap. So receiving it, it's not just sitting back and letting it wash over you. It's taking it. Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, this is wisdom, if you guys remember from English class, personified here, right? So it's like wisdom's like a person. And wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall, what? You want it? You gotta get it. Is it now? Is it a now thing? Are we compelled to get it now? What's our attitude? Isaiah 55. Just a couple books to the right. Yeah, we can't wait. Jesus Christ will come back at any moment. You know, we've got to do it now. You want to know something from God's word? Maybe something you've been wondering like 20 years. Find out now. Do it today. Isaiah 55. I gave you the chapter, right? Verse 8. Fellowship greatest hits, right? These verses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's an old joke. If you go to my fellowship, you've probably heard that a billion times. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says who? This is God talking to you and me and saying, I think and do stuff different from you. That's an important thing to know. They're not our thoughts and they're not our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, it's not just different, it's way better, higher, you know, and the heavens higher than the earth is like roughly infinity, right? Something like that. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's not something we come to on our own, right? It's not people with the spark of the divine can come to this special knowledge. He just had it written down, but it's not something that people were going to figure out without him telling us. He had to tell us, and we need to respect it. We need to see it as more excellent than how we think. When we approach God's word, is it not only different so that we're not freaked out when oh, this isn't what I thought about love. This isn't what I thought about, you know, judging people or whatever. I got to change my mind because it's better. It's a better way of thinking and doing. It's the knowledge of God. Jeremiah 15, one book to your right. There are no substitutes or workarounds to this, right? This is how God did it. It's a book. Not everybody likes books. Jeremiah 15, verse 16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." Sorry if you're not there yet. Spoiler alert, he eats the words. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So this was one of those times when the word was gone, and they found it. So like, that's a terrible thing. You know, look at what caused the Dark Ages, if you think spiritually also. But "thy words were found, and I did eat them." Is it sustenance to us? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is sustenance. It's spiritual food. Do we look at it that way? Is that our attitude? Is it something we need to survive spiritually? We do. It's food. God had it written down so we would eat it. Romans 11. Oh, no, Psalm 107. Real quick. Receiving the word is not, you know, buying your Bible at Barnes & Noble or downloading the app. It's taking it. Psalm 107:10 says, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." Ew, I don't want that. "Because they rebelled against the words of" what? "And they contemned," they despised, "the counsel of the Most High." It is not a given that we're just going to be gung-ho on what we hear from God's word, right? So once we come at it with the right attitude, we got to come away from it with the right attitude that we're going to do it, right? We don't want to sit in, what does it say? Shadow of death, affliction, and iron, right? Sounds bad. That sounds like the Count of Monte Cristo or something weird, right? Romans 11. So not everyone and not every time we hear the word will we necessarily accept it right away. Sometimes you gotta push your brain out. Romans 11, verse 33. Says, "Oh, the depth and of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" I love this. Or who, you know, who first gave God a loan and God had to pay him back, right? No one ever taught God anything. No one ever gave God advice on anything. And no one ever had to give God something because he was lacking it. You know? The depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's something to behold and to stand in awe of. And it says his judgments are unsearchable and his ways past finding out. Well, that seems like it contradicts everything I've said, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't. unsearchable. You can't reason your way into it. Just like Isaiah. It's higher and better. It's not something that comes naturally to our brain. We got to read God's word. Unsearchable. And past finding out is unfathomable. You can't see the bottom of it. It's deep, and you can't trace it back to its origin. That's not our job anyway. We're not supposed to psychoanalyze God. Right? That's craziness. You know, and that's what a lot of philosophy and religion is. It's insane. He wrote it here. This is what he thinks about stuff. You know, and there's no, there's no id to God. There's no subconscious of God. It's all right here. He means what he says and says what he means, right? So the depth of it, you can't see to the bottom of it. And this word, the past finding out, the unfathomable, it's also used in regard to the mystery. If you go to Ephesians 3, this is the only other place I know that it's used. Says Ephesians 3. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, that's that word, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid by God who created all things and by Jesus Christ, isn't in the text. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's the multifarious, like many colored, like a tapestry or like a painting. Wisdom of God. God's genius is like wrapped up in the mystery. Go to Colossians 2. This is the crazy, like many faceted, like craziness of God's wisdom is in the mystery, and it's now being revealed. And then Colossians 2 says in verse 2, says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the what? Mystery of God. That's that same word. Knowing Batman, right? And of the Father and of Christ, in whom, and that should be in which, as in the mystery, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Doesn't that sound cool? It's in the mystery. Wow. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. That's what the word says. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in there. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 6 says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, they don't come to anything, but speak the wisdom of God in a what? Mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, the spirits that run this place, none of them knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Pretty important thing. Go to Ephesians 3. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, hidden from all the spirits that run this place, and if they'd known it, they wouldn't have killed Jesus Christ. How do you get this crazy knowledge? Ephesians 3 says in verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation, again, administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you, or how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you what?
Read.
When you read, you'll understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. That's how God, this deep, crazy, amazing thing, God had written down so people could read it. That's it. That's how you find out about it. You know, in verse 6 is that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ. Right? That's the core of the mystery. Read Ephesians, there's lots more. Read Colossians. It's a huge subject in God's word, and it is a deep, crazy, amazing thing, and it has everything to do with what we have now, and God just had it written down in a book so people could read it. That's how you find the knowledge of God. That's how you receive it. We have to read it. 2 Timothy 3. We cannot delude ourselves into thinking that there's any other way to get to the truth, and we can't let anybody convince us that there's any other way. Because there's not. 2 Timothy 3. What is our attitude toward God's word? 2 Timothy 3 verse 6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the what?
Truth.
What a weird turn of phrase. The knowledge of God is not an end unto itself. We're supposed to do something with it. And this is, again, this knowledge is the acknowledgement of it. We need to know what this thing's for. You know, God knows everything. You can start heading to 1 Corinthians 8. God knows everything. Does he just sit there knowing everything? No, he does stuff about it, right? He acts on it. He doesn't, like, sit there all smug, right? He doesn't lecture us for knowing less than he does, right? He doesn't refuse to fellowship with us because we know less than he does, right? What does he do? Our Father, who we're supposed to imitate, acts on the knowledge he has. When we have the knowledge of God, we're supposed to do something with it. What did I say, 1 Corinthians 8? Yeah. Someone want to read 8:1?
I'll do it.
All right, go ahead.
Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we have all the knowledge. Yes. Knowledge puffed up, but charity edified.
Charity, the love of God, builds up. You want the knowledge of God, you got to take the love with it. Go to 1 Corinthians 13, the great chapter on love. It says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all believing, so that I could remove mountains, and I don't have the love of God, I am what?
Nothing.
And if you go down to verse 8, it says, the love of God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they'll fail. Tongues, they're going to cease. And knowledge is going to do what?
Vanish
away. Go to Ephesians 3. We don't just store up knowledge to store up knowledge. We're supposed to draw from the treasury sometimes and do something with it. Spend it. Right? You can't take it with you. Right? We're only here for a little bit. You know? We should be racking up those rewards up in heaven. When you get the knowledge, you got to act on it. Ephesians 3, I say, verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It exceeds knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that beautiful? It's the love. We need the love with the knowledge. The love is what allows us to take it and to put it into use because we're using it the way God designed it. God gave it to us in love, and we're to use it in love. And we're going to close in 1 Thessalonians 2. What's our attitude toward the knowledge of God, toward the truth? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. It says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why were they thanking God so much? Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of what? Which effectually works in you that believe. What is our attitude? Is this the word of God? And what does that mean? A lot, right? Well, we got to walk out on it with the love and with the knowledge that the knowledge is to be put to use. But we can receive it. God's promised that, and he'll get us there if that's what we really want. And then we believe, which is what the next teaching is about, I think. So that's what I want to share.